Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Tyler Gunther, Chris Whitman, and Tim Keller to bring us all in the huddle. This is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. Let's get to it with Tyler, Chris, and Tim.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. I am your host, Tim Keller. Along with me today is Tyler, who's here almost every week. How you doing today, Tyler?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. One more week till I get to see my Atlanta Falcons hopefully win. So,
are you getting nervous at all?
Very.
You say it's nervous or anxious or
it's a lot of both. And I think I'm more excited to eat the food. Me and my wife are planning
the big Super Bowl party. Yeah. See, as an Eagles fan, it was a few years now, but I remember the 2 weeks seeming like such an eternity. Like that Pro Bowl in between, it's like, just get this out of the way. Let's go. Let's get this game on. I don't think I can hang on anymore.
Yeah. And my wife and I, you know, we're just going to kind of hang out together as a family with my daughter, and she's going to make her jalapeno popper dip, and nice. We're going to have little appetizers and all that. So yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be exciting. I'm just, like I said, I'm just happy we made it. I mean, that's what counts, right?
That is what counts. Now, speaking of, you know, all my anxiousness a few years back waiting for the Eagles, we have another Eagles fan on with us. Chris has a visitor from Israel.
The Rumbo.
You know, he's in the Boston area, so he's kind of popped a surprise visit on Chris, as well as the Royal Rumble. Chris is getting the night off. It's a much needed night off. He does a lot, so he's going to take the night off. And we brought in a guy that some of you may have heard before on my old podcast, the Dynasty Red Zone, Kelly Appleby. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, it's good to be here with you guys.
Yeah, good having you.
Now, if you guys don't know, Kelly's on the show because we recently launched our website. So DynastyHappyHour.com is the website. I suggest that all of you go and check it out. We are trying to get as much content up as quickly as possible with the rookie spotlights. There's a rookie fever article that Tyler did. I'm trying to think. I had the article about taking over an orphan team and some of my thoughts and ideas for, you know, turning a orphan team into a success in a pretty quick fashion. So we also have our rankings up soon. We'll have the rookie rankings along with all the other positions. So just go over there, check this site out. There's links straight to our podcast as well as another podcast. Tyler, you want to let everybody know about that?
Yeah, we are going to be kind of the home for the fantasy insanity. You guys all know John Bosch. If you haven't, he writes about just the insanity behind fantasy football and how we are all crazy in a way and how much we just love fantasy football so much. He has like Matt Harmon on the show. He has, go back and listen to that. He's a lot of the big time names. And yeah, I mean, us, of course, he's had on. Tim, you just did a recent one with him.
Yes, I did. Yes,
I have one coming out this coming week with him about the, you know,
the Podcasters League.
The Podcasters League. Yep. We just talked about the format and all that. So that was fun doing it with him. He's a good guy, and we are more than happy to host him on the site. And yeah, welcome aboard.
Yeah, John Bosch is a fantastic, fantastic guy. He has a very interesting show. If anybody is familiar with Scott Fish and all his crazy league ideas and formats, John Bosch is cut from that same cloth. This guy is cooking up all kinds of fun league ideas and formats. And if you're into some weird stuff, man, you should hit John Bosch up and he can find you a nice,
it all depends, nice
format league. Some of them, I'll tell you what, he had one with like superpowers involved. And I was like, whoa, this one's too much for me. But then he has some other ones where I'm just, if I had more time on my hands, I would love to be in them. But speaking of great things, we'll get into our sponsors. The first one is the Sit or Start app. It is a premium app that is going to get your lineup set to maximize your points week in and week out. Now, obviously, it's the off season, so we're not setting lineups, but they are going to have a news notes type feature come this off season. Keep pace with the free agent moves, any draft news, rookie news, things like that. So highly suggest you go check out that app. once you have it, you have it for all time until you, you know, lose your phone or have it stolen or drop it in the toilet somewhere. You can use it to set your lineups next year. Our next sponsor, MFL, MyFantasyLeague.com. If you don't know MyFantasyLeague.com, then you're probably playing Dynasty on the wrong website. You need to come over to MyFantasyLeague.com. They have so many options for scoring, rosters, lineup setups. If you're a commissioner, there is no better website than MyFantasyLeague.com. And if you're a Dynasty player, I'm telling you, there's just so much you can do over here. They just released some of the new features for the 2017 season, some new waiver.
So excited.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait till they hopefully they don't have like 2 weeks off like they did last offseason.
Yeah.
I really didn't have a whole lot going on during those 2 weeks for fantasy, but still it just seemed like you couldn't get into it and just I felt like I was lost. So hopefully I look forward to when they flip this and we get to see all these new things. So that's going to end all our sponsors. So we'll get into today's show. Today's show, we are going to talk a little bit about our rankings from our website. Tyler, Kelly, and myself, we all rank over there along with Chris. So today we just kind of wanted to do a defend the ranking. We're just going to go through position by position, starting at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, then tight end. And we're just going to pull out a couple from each other's rankings and just be like, ah, this guy's a little too high. This guy's a little too low. What's the deal here? I don't want to, you know, get malicious with it. Let's try to have a little fun. Nobody get butthurt over this. All right.
This is going to be fun.
It'll be fun. So with that being said, I guess we'll go straight to quarterback. So I'll let you guys go ahead and go at me first, I guess, and go over here to the quarterback rankings. And does anybody have an issue or a beef with any of the quarterbacks I've ranked?
The only thing I'm going to say is you have Roethlisberger at 9. Yikes. And I just want to explain to people, if you could go on to the ranks, Tim has done a great job color coding kind of which ranks are kind of the outliers. So, like, Chris has Tannehill at 10, and his overall rank is 17. So, yeah, I mean, that's the outlier. It shows in green that it is the extreme. And Roethlisberger is your extreme. He is 14 overall for an average, and he's your 9th. So, explain yourself.
That one's strictly based on skill, because right behind him I have Blake Bortles. If you're going to make me, you know, pick a quarterback that I like better talent wise, I'm going to take Ben over Bortles. Drew Brees after Bortles, just because of age. I know Ben's not too far off of Drew Brees, but Drew is what, 38, I want to say. So he is definitely limited. Obviously, I think Ben's limited too with his years left in the league. I mean, he was already kicking around the idea of retirement, supposedly. Ben's a drama queen. He's not retiring. He just wants people to go, oh, we love you, stick around. But I think talent-wise, he's worth being a top 10 quarterback, even in Dynasty.
You have him ahead of Matt Ryan, Matthew Stafford, Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz, Tom Brady, who I would actually take over Roethlisberger personally. But yeah, you have a good chunk of names that are still good ahead of him, or behind him.
Yeah, the Matt Ryan one out of that group is really the only one that made me think, oh, really? Do I have behind Matt Ryan? Or in front of Matt Ryan. So yeah, maybe I have him a touch too high now that we talk about it. But Stafford, Brady, again, if Brady could win this game, you don't want to hear this, Brady might win this game next week. He could just walk off. So I doubt that's what's going to happen. But Dak did very well for a rookie. I think a lot of that's on the line in that run game. And then Wentz, he was mildly impressive, but I wouldn't put him above Ben at this point yet. So, Kelly, you got one for me?
Well, kudos to Tyler. He sniped me on that one. I was going Big Ben there, and I just thought number 9's too high with all this talk of retirement and some of the guys you have ahead of him.
To be fair, I did my quarterback rankings before that stupid interview, but that doesn't – it's not real, he's that not, talk.
He's –
Yeah, I looked at his contract, and he would have to pay back too much money to hanging up.
Yeah, when you have to owe him like $15 million or something like that.
Yeah, it's a lot.
He's not walking away and handing them $15 million.
Can I write a check or an IOU?
I'm good for it, guys. All right.
You might coach called an audible here, and I'll question your Paxton Lynch, Jared Goff ranking. You have Goff at 22, and you have Paxton Lynch way down at 31. For me, I like Lynch over Goff. I understand why. Maybe you have Lynch because there's still questions. Is he a starter next year? But explain yourself on that one.
Did you watch Lynch play this year?
Yeah.
Lynch did not look good at all. Honestly, preseason, I want to say I had Lynch as my number three quarterback in the class, if I remember correctly. And I feel like I was a little too high on him, honestly. Goff, I did not see anything that made me go, wow, this kid was, you know, deserved to be the number one overall pick. But I feel he at least played better than Lynch. And he played better than Lynch on a very, very worst team. Lynch is on a team that just won a Super Bowl last year. Granted, the offensive line there in Denver isn't great, but Simeon didn't play terribly behind that offensive line. I think Goff has more room to grow. We got to remember he came from that spread him out system in college, that Bear Raid. So, you know, it's his first year in what everybody's, was it Todd Gurley said it was a middle school style offense. So I think Goff has some tools.
Actually, speaking of middle school offense, I think Jeff Fisher is actually getting hired to coach a middle school team. That's what I heard in the news, because they heard Gurley say that and they're like, whoa.
Oh, that's perfect. We're looking for a coach.
We are looking for a coach.
All right. That has to be a really, really rich middle school, I would have to imagine.
Actually, he's just taking the job because he needs something.
Yeah, it makes sense. So, yeah, I mean, I like Goff over Lynch at this point still, and I don't love either one of them, but I think Goff has more tools at his disposal.
Really? You think Goff has more tools at his disposal than Paxton Lynch if they're both starters next year?
I think Goff is a better quarterback overall than Paxton Lynch.
I agree.
I thought coming out that he was a better quarterback. I had my concerns, you know, based on the college offense he ran and the transition into an NFL offense. But then once I saw him on the field, like I thought Lynch could be the steal. Like, you could get him as your third, fourth, fifth quarterback in his class, and he could possibly transcend above these other two, Wentz and Goff. But then once he actually got on the field this year, I was like, oof, man, I was a little too high on him, I think. So,
yeah, I just see more with Goff. He, during the workouts, they showed video for his pro day. Yeah, his pro day looked really good in my eyes. Jamarcus Russell.
He's a bit of a dummy. He doesn't know which side the sun sets on, anything so like that. But
and the fact that he was kind of like making fun of himself about it.
Yeah. But all right. So let's go after Tyler here, Kelly. You want to go ahead and go first on Tyler?
Sure, I'll go first. I'm going to question his Drew Brees over Tom Brady. Is this more hate, or what's your thought on having Drew Brees ranked higher than Tom Brady?
Okay. First of all, I have a friend that's a Patriots fan, and he was talking about Tom Brady. And I said, if you're not a fan of Tom Brady, you've also kind of, you can't be a fan of Drew Brees as well. They got the same mentality, same work ethic. They've kind of, you know, they've come from the same spot in the draft. You know, Brady was in the sixth, Brees was in the second. They both had issues early on in their career, and they both kind of came up, rose through the depth chart, and became superstars. So if you like one, you gotta like the other. But Drew Brees, God, just 5,000 yards, 35 to 40 touchdowns a year. And I honestly think he's got a couple more years in him. And during that time, if it's a start one, draft a quarterback in the next 2 years, groom them, and ride Drew Brees like I am. I have him in a league, and I love having that, you know, comfortable 15 to 30, 40 points a week. I mean, he's not going to just Ryan Tannehill my team on a weekly basis. I mean, which we've seen Tom Brady do sometimes. I mean, Tom Brady's had games where he's just, I think last year, didn't he get like a 3-point game or something like that? It was a lower.
To kind of come to Tyler's defense here, let's just look at the receiving weapons. Just look at the receiving weapons. Which receiving core would you rather have personally? And I think I'd take that Saints receiving core over that New England receiving core. I do like Malcolm Mitchell, and Chris Hogan obviously flashed in their last playoff game. But Edelman's older. Amendola's old. So, I mean, I'd rather have Cooks and Snead and Michael Thomas.
I think we're going to have to change Chris Hogan's nickname to Hollywood Hogan after the game he had last week, because everybody's talking him up like he's going to be a top 25 receiver now.
Somebody get on that Photoshop. I need that NWO bandana and the two-tone goatee going on.
I agree.
Tyler, I am going to go at you for Tony Romo. You have him at 23. The next closest individual is 25, that being Chris. does that collarbone concern you at all? I mean,
yes, but I do believe he will go to the Jets or Broncos. And if you look at their,
you gotta like one of those corner, a whole lot more, right?
Okay. Well, I like the Broncos more, but and honestly, the Cowboys want to trade him to a team he wants to go to, and he has stated the Broncos are his team he wants to go to.
Yeah.
And we all know how Elway is. I honestly think as long as Elway is the guy in charge, they will never play a young quarterback in their life if they don't have to. They will keep bringing in people that are like 35 to 40 years old. Like, Elway's already probably thinking, okay, we get Romo for 2 years. When is Tom Brady's contract up? I mean, he's already probably thinking about the next guy.
Yeah.
2020,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah. Wow. It wouldn't shock me. But yeah, I mean, he looked good when he came in week 17. He went 3 for 4 for 30 some yards and a touchdown. He's still accurate. It's that collarbone. Everybody knows it's made out of plexiglass. It's probably even weaker than that.
I was gonna say like stunt glass.
Yes. And as long as he's healthy, he'll be a top 15 guy easily if he goes somewhere to start. So yeah, I still like him. And honestly, I've never been a fan of him when he was at Dallas, but now that there's a chance he's leaving, throw me on the train.
All right. Okay. It's a decent enough argument. So now it's Kelly's turn. And with Kelly's comments, where he just happened to know Tom Brady's expiration date on the contract, makes me think that he did a little bit of like reverse research where he looked at his own rankings and said, who are they going to come at for?
Maybe a little bit.
So, Tyler, I'll let you go ahead and go first. Who do you got here? Who do you want to go at Kelly for?
Well, that was a nice segue for me, but I'm honestly going to pass. And I am going to go... Actually, you go first. I want to kind
Mine's
of...
Mine's easy. Russell Wilson at 7. he averages out on our rankings at the 4th overall quarterback. And Kelly, you have him at 7. Now, obviously, he had an injured season this year. He started off the season really lackluster. He kind of came on for a couple games there towards the back half of the season. But overall, it was a lackluster season from Russell Wilson. But what is it about Russell Wilson that you just don't like?
I think, for my opinion, I think he gets overranked a lot just because he's a winner. People see that. He wins games. He's not a bad quarterback. He's consistent. But for me, I don't really ever see him having just massively huge games consistently. I just don't think it's what Seattle's done. I've said this before on podcasts previously, that I just feel that they're a running style team. They kind of transitioned a little bit more to passing this year, but I just don't think Pete Carroll changes the stripes. And I just, for me, I like Rodgers better. I think Cam's going to bounce back. I like Stafford better because that's all they do is pass the ball there. So I just think that those guys are a better consistent play, even though they might be a little bit on the older side. And Russell, while he's good at moving away from hits, that line's not getting better. He's getting hit more and more, and I just think that leads to more of a chance of him getting hurt. So that slides him in my rankings. I figure in injury probability more into my rankings, probably more than anybody else, I think.
All right. So Tyler, who do you got for him?
All right. I think I come to the conclusion I am going to go with Tom Brady. You have Tom Brady at 9. His consensus is 11, but you are the highest ranker in the single digits. You have him at 9 ahead of Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz. I mean, you two on Carson Wentz it's mind blowing. You guys are the lowest on him. So maybe
we got to watch all of his games.
Maybe it makes
we're Eagles fans. We watch this stuff and we're kind of like pessimistic about it.
I was going to say, and he said we're Eagles fans, so we're naturally pessimistic. But I'll give you a little background here. Kelly has been high on Tom Brady for years. For years he has been.
I got a little bit of a man crush on him. I guess he's just a good looking fella.
I was going to say, with
he helped me win a championship or two. Man. So there's a soft spot in my heart for a little Tom Brady. I mean, when I questioned you, Drew Brees or Tom Brady, and I thought about it after I said it, and I'm like, you know, the one thing that I also like to factor in is how many dome games do you get to play? And he has to play in Buffalo at least once a year. He has to play against the Jets. And both of those could be bad weather games where half the games for Drew Brees are in a dome. So
bad weather games, but bad defensive games. Oof, those defenses did not look good.
I could maybe see throwing Ryan ahead of him, but I don't know. I just think this is a one-year deal for Matty Ice.
You said Matt Ryan weird. I mean, don't you mean MVP?
Yeah, it hasn't been announced yet.
I had a guy on Twitter ask me, "Are you seriously a Falcons fan?" Like, he was asking.
Your avatar, and you bring him up all the time on the pod.
And I was just wondering, and then I found out it was just a ploy for him to see if I needed any athletic training. And I'm like, "Do you see this? Does this look like it needed any training?"
I'm ripped, bro. Nice.
As I'm digging into a bag of Doritos.
All right, so let's move over here to the running backs, and I'm gonna kick things off with going to Tyler and Chris. Even though you're not here tonight, buddy, I'm doing this one for you. J.J. at 10, dude. J.J. at 10. Come on.
Yeah, I am the outlier on him, and honestly, I am going to switch him.
Oh, perfect.
I was going to do that today. I am going to switch him with Lamar Miller.
Okay.
I watched a little bit more of Lamar Miller. I saw a little bit of his replay on NFL Network the other night, and he just doesn't look like he's good.
Yeah.
I think he left Miami, and I think he needs to be in kind of a Devonta Freeman, Tevin Coleman type workload, because he cannot handle a full workload because he slowed down. He didn't look like he had the burst like he did in Miami. Maybe all those ankle injuries and hammies really are affecting him. But yeah, he looks like he's hurting. So yeah, Ajayi will probably be 9 or 8 for me. More than likely 8, because he will probably be ahead of Derrick Henry.
Now, it's kind of tough to say this, but maybe those 2 or 3 regimes in Miami were kind of right about Lamar Miller, you know?
Yeah.
They weren't great regimes, but they seem to have pegged Lamar Miller pretty dead on, it seems.
And that's the thing. I was a huge fan of Lamar Miller in Miami. I'm like, come on, get this guy the ball. He's so explosive. And I had him in a league, and then I traded him because I'm like, something is up. They're not giving him the ball. So I traded him at a high point. I'm happy I got rid of him. I was disappointed when he went to Houston because I'm like, oh God, here's his touches. But I'm happy of the outcome.
Yeah, full disclosure, I'm actually the highest on Lamar Miller, and I don't feel good about that.
Yeah, so. You are very high on him.
Yeah.
Why do you love Lamar Miller?
I can't say that I do love Lamar Miller. I honestly, now that I'm looking at these.
Oh, yeah, there's a couple of people I need to move up, like, I mean, Tevin Coleman. My real man crush for Tevin Coleman has started. You guys know I was down.
I was
on
surprised
him.
I was the lowest on Tevin Coleman because I thought I liked Tevin Coleman, and I'm like, wow, I'm the lowest. You know,
it's just a crapshoot where he's around. I mean, you look at all the players.
I think I probably move him up over that next guy in line, Spencer Ware there.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, yeah, I took you on for J.J. Kelly, who do you got for Tyler here?
I'm questioning C.J. Procise over Thomas Rawls by.
Oh, hold on a second.
He doesn't know.
Hold on a second. Kelly, yeah, you just told him now. C.J. Procise, if Tyler ever gets to meet him, may be accosted in a sexual manner.
Really? Tyler, so. I must have missed where he was sucking him dry. Jesus.
Okay, so yeah. Go ahead, Tyler.
C.J. Procise is a David Johnson light. By light, I mean in the weight. I don't mean by skills. C.J. Procise has everything a good running back can have. And if he can stay healthy, that is an if. I have these love for players like Moncrief. He needs to stay healthy. C.J. Procise, I feel like, is going to be one of those players, when healthy, is going to be great. And he, I feel like, fits Seattle's what they need in a running back more than Thomas. Oh, I'll get you 35 yards on 11 carries, Rawls. I mean, Rawls is the ghost of Marshawn Lynch. Everybody wants him to come back, but he's gone. you gotta just let it go and go a different route with running back. And C.J. Procise will heal your prayers, will answer them.
I forget where I heard it this week, but I heard it on another pod that somebody else was saying that they believe that if C.J. Procise can come back healthy next year, that it's going to be C.J. as the air quotes here, the lead, and Rawls will play more of the complementary role in something similar to what Atlanta is doing with their running backs.
That'd be good. I mean, if they can get a good number two running back in there to help out Procise, yeah. I mean, I could see a double backfield.
All right. Kelly, you got anybody for me?
Yeah. I went with Eddie Lacy ranked 31. Is this fat shaming or what is
it's the fact that more than likely he was mildly large for fat shaming. if he has my body type and plays in the NFL and he's not a lineman, you can't be skill position looking like this.
Are you upset he could take down a
no? Because I
White Castle yeah, 12 listen, pack he, faster
he don't,
than
he
you.
He don't want to get in this race with me. Two, he's been injured all year. Three, contract's up. I believe he's out of Green Bay. I don't think he's around next year. So
no, they have a weird love for Ty Montgomery. I feel.
Where does he go? There's a whole lot up in the air. How healthy is he going to be coming back off his injury? He was having trouble staying thin or in shape when he was not injured.
He's been injured. P90X again. I mean, he's going to come back looking swole and Packers. Probably go to the Lions.
Why put it to the Packers? You mean he's going to eat all the cheese in town?
Yeah. Let's just wipe them out.
I was never as high as the consensus on Eddie Lacy to begin with. And then these past 2 years, it's just been a downhill slide for him. So
maybe he's got a glandular problem.
He very well could, but that doesn't help you be a running back in the NFL. So
no, it doesn't.
All right, Tyler, who do you got for me?
Well, you always got to put me on the spot.
This is what we're doing.
What?
Obviously, he didn't write it down. He's not looking at me.
No, I'm going to go Deion Lewis. You are by far the highest on him at 23. I know his average is 26, and it's all because of you, because the next closest is me at 28, and I feel like I'm higher on him than you.
I think that if Deion Lewis was healthy this year, that LeGarrette Blount wouldn't even be kind of the thing that he was this year. Bill Belichick, in years past, has always been that type of coach where you fumble the football, you're off the field. Deion Lewis, because of what he was doing, Bill was letting him get away with some things and still feeding him the ball. We saw him start to get introduced a little bit more into the offense, like week 16, 17, and then in the playoffs a bit. I think that he's going to come back healthy next year and that the Pats will try to feature him. And I think that he's shown he can be Freeman-esque from last year when he's healthy. You know, he can run when he needs to. I say esque, not esque, you know, and he catches the ball well. And if you get him in space, he is dangerous. That guy's extremely, extremely slippery. So
can I just name one guy for Chris? Theo Riddick at 15.
Yeah, I was going to say it though.
Really? Really, Chris? I like it because he's not here to defend himself. So this is just a quick stab and go.
So insert snarky remark.
Yeah, it's a quick stab and go. And obviously Latavius Murray, we all know. You know, we all know his love for him.
So, okay, we're over here to Kelly. Tyler, you got one for him or you want me to go ahead?
Oh, this is obvious. Why do you hate Carlos Hyde?
Thank you.
22 overall. Really?
I am not a fan.
The next highest is Tyler at 13. So it is 9 spots back from Tyler to Kelly there.
22. Yeah, I mean, you have Eddie Lacy ahead of him.
I prefer Eddie Lacy over Carlos Hyde. I don't know.
Game of Pac-Man, maybe.
I've seen the talent, but I just don't trust him to stay healthy. Another knock is he played college ball at Ohio State. I just think the San Francisco 49ers are a mess of an organization. I probably should have him maybe, honestly, 5 to 6 spots higher just based upon talent, but I just don't trust he's going to stay healthy. When has he ever stayed healthy?
Never. So that's a good point.
Yeah. If he does, though, that projection there at 22, I think is way out of line.
Yeah, I'm a little nuclear on him, but.
So I'll go to another guy, and I know just, you know, with our history, I know all about you, and I know you've always been a little bit higher on this guy than most. C.J. Anderson at 13, really?
I admit, that's a little bit of my son coming through. I hear him chirping C.J. Anderson all the time about how he's going to come back and set the world on fire.
Yeah, but when he's healthy, he's mediocre.
Yeah, I didn't figure in the injury factor for him. So he probably should be down like another 4. But I don't know. Like whenever I've seen C.J. Anderson be healthy, he's pretty electric. He can do all things.
I agree. When C.J. Anderson is healthy and in a decent shape with conditioning, he's a good running back. I mean, he's a good number 2 guy.
I'm just not a fan of C.J. personally.
Why do you hate CJ?
Just, I've never been a fan. Plus, I have Booker in a couple spots, so I need CJ not to be a fan.
That's more of it. He's more hating CJ just because he wants Booker to shine.
I would hate on CJ anyways, just because, like I said, I've never been a big time fan. Never been like a full on believer. So
yep, and I just want to say we're gonna be moving on the receiver. Kelly, thank you. Mike Evans at one, thank you.
What are you thanking me for?
That you have Mike Evans at one. That's what he just said.
Oh, yes. Okay.
we both have Mike Evans at one.
It's you and Tyler both have Mike Evans at one. And then Chris and I are the same people on the podcast, and we have Odell Beckham at one.
So you and Chris get down with petulant bitch behavior.
It's all right. I get it. I am not a fan of that at all. I hate that kind of diva stuff out of players. Yeah. God damn, when he is between those sidelines, does that guy ball out? He plays the position of receiver very, very well.
Yeah, and when you're saying you guys are the sane people picking the insane guy. Yeah.
Did you see the skills competition? That guy's got hands. Mike Evans.
Are you kidding?
All kinds of drops.
The skills competition? You're basing off the skills?
I'm not basing anything. I'm not basing my ranking off the skills competition. I'm basing my ranking off of the play on the football field during the season.
The 135-foot drop out of Beckham's hands?
Yeah, from a drone.
From the drone.
Who cares about the drone? That was... I don't like that event. It was the hands competition, man.
Invite a punter. I mean, really? You couldn't invite one punter. You had to drop it from a drone.
Yeah. Get that, was it King from the Raiders? He likes to
dance around everything. Get his full ass out there.
Yeah. All right.
He tries to wreck people.
I want to start off with Kelly because there is an eyesore there for me. Why do you hate Doug Baldwin at 37 when his consensus is 23? I mean, you like Thomas Rawls, but Baldwin at 37?
I just think he's a flash in the pan. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little too angry.
2 years in a row. It's not a flash.
I don't know.
That thing's cooking and simmering in that pan.
I just think he's easily replaceable, though. Like he plays hard. He just reminds me of like a third line hockey guy. He's only got stats because he tries hard, and eventually you just run out of energy. And I just think this is the year. So I'm down on some Dougie B.
I think it's been a slow burn with him. I think it took him a little while to get to where he is, but
he's 28 too. I believe he's 28. So like, he's how many years left of grindy wide receiver?
Three, four.
Yeah, I'd say three or four.
You know, maybe he's the next Anquan Boldin. You know, he's gonna play till he's 38. The next guy I'm gonna go at you for, and again, I'm doing this one for Tyler, or I'm sorry, for Chris. Devontae Parker at 25, bro. Come on. And is this just based off injuries?
Yeah, I think it's mostly injuries. I've seen him flash at times. He's a very good talent, but he's just not my cup of tea. I mean, I think if Landry goes somewhere else, he goes up. But I still think Landry gets the volume and the stuff there. If you want to talk about the skills competition, there's a guy.
Between the 20s is great. He doesn't have that after the catch, skill that Odell Beckham has where he catches those short slants and then takes them to the house. Jarvis Landry's from the 20 to 20. Devontae Parker is going to be that guy they look to in the red zone. So, all right, why don't we go with me here? Why don't you guys try to pick some of my guys apart?
All right, Kelly, I'll let you go first.
I believe I'm going to target me some. Let me make sure I have this right here.
Odell Beckham at one.
I believe it was Devin Funchess at 31.
Yeah. Both of those Carolina Panthers receivers can just go hit the bricks. I'm just not a fan. I'm not a believer in either one of those guys.
Well, I'm thinking that's high, to be honest with you. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
You are the highest. I don't even have him ranked.
Tyler don't even have him ranked. we're that down on him. He didn't even crack the top 60. You and Chris got him 39. You got him 31. So we'll play this game. Tyrell Williams or Devin Funchess?
Tyrell Williams.
So, like, right there. That's a nine-point game for Tyrell Williams.
I was telling you guys when I started doing these receivers rankings, once I get to like 25, I have about 20 guys where I could try to stuff them into the next 10 spots. And the receiver ranks are going to be those ranks where every time I go look at them, I'm going to see guys I want to move around. So
no, I agree. I'm with you on that. You know, you see kind of, got to move him here. But hey,
Funchess and Benjamin are both. I think they're like a 1A, 1B on their own teams. So just by the, you know, by being a one, they're going to get like wide receiver two production, you would think, but I have him like as a high end wide receiver three in the rankings here, just cause I just don't like him, but I think they're going to get the looks. So I have to kind of have him in there somewhere.
Yeah. And Kelly, there's one more thing I want to bring up. Martavis Bryant at 23.
Oh, yeah.
I just saw that.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. The injuries, he hates guys, right here. He hates guys with injuries, but loves potheads.
Yeah, I do. I love the recovering addict. You know, I'm hearing great reports that he's working out in Vegas of all places and getting his life back together. So, yeah, he's going to
stay. Didn't he just apply for reinstatement?
Yeah, he did.
What's that?
He needs more money.
Yeah, he just applied for reinstatement.
Yeah, so I just think he's automatic too when he comes back. He's a nice weapon. I mean, he's just got to keep his nose clean, and I think he's learned his lesson. He's the anti Josh Gordon. So,
all right, now mine for Tim is Sterling Shepard at 39. That seems a bit low for me. I don't like it.
Well, when you're playing beside the number one overall receiver,
Mike Evans, wrong team.
What kind of production can you really get? No, again, that's just a guy. I thought he played very well this year for a rookie on a pretty mild offense. That Giants offense was kind of lackluster this year, so I probably should move him up. But again, I mean, until Odell gets hurt, that offense is going to revolve, at least the passing game is going to revolve all around Odell. I think Sterling Shepard will grow in the next 2 to 3 years and we'll take a little bit more of that piece of the pie, but until Odell's not there or injured, Sterling Shepard's going to be a low-end wide receiver too, I think.
Okay.
All right, so let's move over here to Tyler. Kelly, do you got anybody for Tyler, buddy?
I'm going to question Tyreek Hill at 52. What about his game do you not like that you got him like below the guys like Perriman, Terrell Pryor?
I drafted a guy named Tavon Austin in a rookie draft over DeAndre Hopkins. And that has lit a fire under me for years with these gadget type guys. The only one that I've actually liked has been Tyler Lockett. And that's just because he's got a great first name. No, that's just because he looks like a receiver. I don't like these gadget players anymore. I mean, if it's a, you know, point per carry or something like that, yeah, maybe he would go up. But other than that, and then
he didn't show you enough toward the end of the season to think that he's going to be a part of that Chiefs offense going forward.
Well, being a part of that Chiefs offense is like having a quarter of pie left, splitting it between eight people.
I mean, yeah, you got a point there. I mean, it's most of the time that's nothing to get excited about. But I just feel like there's a different dynamic now with at least somebody that can be electric in their offense. They really haven't had that since Jamal Charles was healthy a couple years ago.
Yeah, looking at this rank, I need to move him down myself. I think too much of him is based on the special teams and just his frame is not made to last in this league. So there's a lot of concern for injury for him for me.
Yeah, come with us. Come on.
The guy I'm going to call out here, and it's, you know, I know all about your infatuation.
Yep, I knew it was coming.
Little Fuller, buddy. I really thought Kelly was going to pull him out. I didn't think Kelly would know about your infatuation, but you have him at 25, and I think I honestly believe that Chris is not as low on Will Fuller as his ranking shows at 44.
But I
think he knew that you were going to be over the top, so he just made his a little extra low to even the thing out a little bit.
To make it so it's not at like in the 20s.
Yeah. So you have Will Fuller at 25. You have him ahead of guys like Crabtree, Tyler Lockett, Jameson Crowder. You know, what is it about Will Fuller that makes you so sure?
It's got to get better than Brock Osweiler, doesn't it? I mean,
I would hope so.
And let's be honest. Maybe we don't know something about the drops. Maybe those drops, because Hopkins had some this year. Maybe Osweiler's sidearm delivery just puts a weird spin on the ball and makes it harder to catch. You know what I'm saying?
Rotation like, theories.
You know, I don't know. Did you see that drop in the playoff game? I mean, that thing was – that is possibly the best throw Brock threw all season long.
But maybe Fuller's like, you know what?
Oh, now you're going to throw this? Nah.
Yeah.
All right, bro.
Nope. Not today. Not today.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton.
But I still love Fuller. And you watch his tape. He is more than a fast guy. I'm telling you, watch his Notre Dame tape over and over. and you will see more of an electrifying player. If you like Tyreek Hill, I think Will Fuller is faster than Tyreek Hill. That's bold.
I think Tyreek Hill has got a little more of that lateral shift in his game.
Well, yeah.
You see that in that return, you know, in the return game, he can find those creases that Will Fuller seems like he's straight line. He might be faster. I could see that he might be faster in a straight line. Tyreek's got that ability to make cuts at a pretty high rate of speed and keep his momentum.
And I do want to say the thing I was worried about with Fuller, the only thing was press. I thought he'd have issues with it. He was a bit on the thin side. I watched a lot of Houston's games because, of course, I love Will Fuller. I loved him coming out. Every time I'd watch him on the opposite side of Hopkins getting off the ball, and he would have a perfect release and you'd get around the guy and take off. Brock would look his way and I'd be shouting because, of course, I had Fuller starting in some spots. I'd be shouting at Brock, just throw him the ball. But, of course, this was during Brock's time when he's like, but Fedorowicz is right in front of me. So,
yeah. Why throw the wide open guy 40 yards down the field when I can take the guy who's going to get destroyed by this linebacker as soon as the ball gets there?
Fuller got open a lot. I mean, they're pushing coverage to Hopkins, and that's what I love about him too, because he's not going to get the double coverage. He is, I feel like more is to come with Fuller, and everybody talking about that drop is just going to look like a fool because Fuller is a guy who is extremely talented. You can't teach the speed. Yeah, he may be a DeSean Jackson type guy. I'll take that. Wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3, any day.
All right, so we'll move over here to tight ends, and let's go back to Kelly first. There's a couple here. I'm go for a pretty easy one. CJ Fedorowicz, you have him ranked at 21. Just had a career year. You just mentioned that it might not get better than Brock. So if Brock's still there, he showed he likes throwing to Fedorowicz. Why no love?
I don't know. He's got great size. I had him on a team or two a couple years ago, and he took, you know, like the typical time it takes a tight end to develop. But it's, for me, he's has bricks for hands, and I think he's easily replaceable. I'm not in love with the prospect of CJ Fedorowicz. I'd rather have older guys.
Would you say that they possibly have a replacement currently on the roster?
Yeah, a guy you suck off on the regular there, and Steven Anderson.
Yeah. Okay, I just want somebody else to say it. I do like that answer.
I loved your tone. Oh yeah. Like after he said Steven Anderson.
He's
mentally masturbating right then.
that's my tight end boyfriend, baby. So Tyler, who do you got here that you want to talk to?
This is completely obvious. I'm gonna look down at the bottom of the tight end ranking where you have the 26th overall ranked tight end.
I thought you were going somewhere else.
At 15, Clive Walford. What is so? Are you with the group that's like, oh God, he's going to be a thing year 4?
Yeah, I'm kind of on that bandwagon. I'm thinking he's going to develop. I like what they have there in Oakland, so I might have him a little bit out of place. But I feel like this is going to be year 3 for him coming up. So
yeah,
I'm a little higher on him than most people, I believe. But I think this is the breakout year.
Yeah, I've always been I thought I was going to probably be the highest on Clive. I seem to like him a little bit. But yeah, you're a little bit higher.
I might need to adjust that. Yeah, now looking at it, I probably need to get him closer to 20. But there's so many like older tight ends that.
Yeah, Tyler, I thought for sure you were going to call out Zach Miller.
Yeah, that was interesting to me. Yeah. But
well, that's actually my call out for Tyler. You have him at 13.
Oh, he loves Zach Miller. That was like your guy at tight end this year, wasn't it? Like your late
Chris,
round.
Chris and I loved him, but obviously it looks like Chris is off of him now.
I just think 13 is a little high for a 31-year-old tight end.
A tight end one this past year?
Yeah, I guess because they have, you know, scrubby quarterbacks, but like you really think that's going to continue for much longer? I mean, they got to do something there.
When you just said scrubby quarterbacks, Jay Cutler just threw a cigarette out of his mouth.
I'll show you.
He put it on his shoulder pad. Oh, that's it.
He's out the door. You know that he's not around. So
yeah, he's out. But yeah, I mean, tight ends are the relief pitcher of football. They seem like they just. How old is this guy? 48, and he's still throwing. Yeah, like that's how I'd like to compare the the tight end position is the relief pitcher.
I might be a little bit too much of an ageist when it comes to the tight end spot. You were right about that. Some guys do play into their mid-30s when it comes to that. That's another guy to me I think is replaceable within a year or two. So it's just to value him inside the top 15 is tough for me to get my head around.
All right.
Okay. Well, with that being said, they are kind of the relief pitcher, but Dennis Pitta, he was the 12th overall tight end this year. You have him at 25.
Yeah. I thought he wasn't supposed to be back. I thought he was done.
Yeah, after that last the hip injury, I thought that maybe he would be done too, but he and Flacco are like BFFs.
Yeah, they go on vacation together, they hang out together.
So as long as he's healthy, I think Pitta should at least be in the teens.
I think it's more of a Max William love for me, because I had Max Williams at 21 and he's from U of M and I've seen him play a lot. And that dude looked like he was like a mini Gronk for Minnesota.
Yeah, you and I are the only ones with Max ranked, as a matter of fact.
I mean, if you go back and watch Max Williams tape, that dude was punishing safeties and linebackers. So I believe if Max Williams can stay healthy, he had his, share of injury issues in Minnesota. But if he can stay healthy, I think he is the guy that will take snaps away from Pitta. And I think Baltimore really wants to use him since they used an early second round pick on him.
Yeah, they definitely want to get him on the field for sure. Yep. Real quick, I want you to break the tie. You have two guys at 23, Ladarius Green and Charles Clay.
Oh, God, I'd have to take Charles Clay.
I agree. The concussion issue is just too scary. I don't know you have Ladarius Green ranked.
Yeah, I'll probably have to drop him low. But it's the upside that always brings you back.
Yeah, I get it. But it's a big concern. So, all right, guys, let's finish it off by hammering me. Bring it home.
All right, I'm going to start off, and I'm going to go with Will Tye. You are the only one.
Kelly just slammed something because he was going at Will Tye.
Got sniped again.
That's what I did on purpose. I'm like, he's probably going to go for him.
Will Tye is the best tight end on the Giants right now. I think Jarrell Adams may surpass him.
Well, OJ Howard is probably going to be a lock for them, and that dude is a monster.
Yeah, this
anybody with a pulse is better than Will Tye.
No, he's not. No, because they have other guys with pulses on the Giants, and Will Tye wins out. So, no, that statement is factually incorrect. I think Will Tye is easily
the facts.
No, complete facts, true, honest facts. Eli Manning seems to like Will Tye over, guys like Larry Donnell and for now, Jarrell Adams. But I will say that Will Tye's ranking is kind of like a TBD, because there has been rumors that the Giants will look at tight end. And if they do, especially in this tight end class, I've said it multiple times that I think this tight end class could be fantastic. So if they take a guy in the first 3 to 4 rounds at tight end, Will Tye, you're going to be in the low 20s for me, maybe even the 30s. So I'm a Will Tye fan. I always have been. I have him on all kinds of teams. He's not as consistent as I'd like, but I think he's a very solid tight end.
Yeah. So that's going to end everything. I want to go over.
No. Kelly still has to call me out.
I want to call him out on Colby Fleener. 14, 16. You're at 21.
Yep. I knew this one was coming.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Colby Fleener didn't produce on a level he was supposed to in Indy. He didn't produce at the level he was supposed to in New Orleans. So when is the guy actually going to do anything?
You had him in a couple teams, didn't you?
No, I never have. The guy's been overrated. He's like Zach Ertz, but worse. Like constantly, oh, here comes
the Colby Fleener year.
Yeah, I'll take Will Tye.
Colby Fleener or Charles Clay?
I'll take Charles Clay.
You just said Zach Ertz, but you have Zach Ertz at 5. You and Kelly are
Zach
high.
Ertz, but worse. We're both like some Ertz there. Yeah,
he's like Zach Ertz, but worse. Zach Ertz is like Travis Kelce, but worse. It's, for what, the first 3 years of Kelce's career, it's like, oh, wait for this guy. Wait for this Kelce guy.
At 1.
Yeah, yeah. With Gronk's back issues and Reed being, like a hard breeze away from being a mush brain the rest of his life. Yeah.
I'd rather have Hunter Henry than Kelce personally. I should put that in my ranks.
Listen, I think Hunter Henry, and I'm the lowest, I have him at 7, but I think Hunter Henry is the future of this position. Yeah. I just want to see a little bit more of it. So, yeah, I have no doubt that Hunter Henry, if he stays healthy, is going to be the number one tight end in these rankings at some point. No doubt.
Cool, cool. All right, you guys want, we got some time. You guys want to do some Twitter trades?
Let's do it.
All right. I just typed in hashtag Dynasty Trades on Twitter. Jesse and company, he traded the 103 for Kelvin Benjamin and 109. Oof. What do you guys think of that one?
He traded 103
for Kelvin Benjamin and 109.
Yeah, I'd rather have that 103. You might look at Mike Williams better than Kelvin Benjamin. You might look at one of those running backs, be it Fournette or Dalvin Cook. I would rather have either any of those three players over Kelvin Benjamin. Yeah, this class is semi deep, so you might end up finding some good talent there at 109. But I'd rather shoot at 103 and take my chances there.
I'm in agreement too. Like Kelvin Benjamin, to me is too much of just a question mark. 109. You're starting to get into that region where you probably get a decent guy, but he's not top end. I'd rather have the top end guy all day.
All right. Well, here is a trade I wish Chris was here. We have Dante Moncrief and 212 or Devontae Parker and 202.
So it's 212 and Moncrief or Parker and 202?
Yeah.
I'm taking Parker and 202.
I'd have to agree. I'm not a huge fan of either of the prospect wide receivers you guys have mentioned. I don't know. Maybe I just hate Dante's. But, yeah, I'll take Parker.
One's a Devontae. Yeah, I think that the receivers are relatively close. I would give the edge to Moncrief for now. I think Parker's got the larger upside. But you're talking a – did they say what size league it is? If it's a 10-man, if it's a 10-team league, you're talking –
at least 12.
Okay. So you're talking the 14th overall pick versus – oh yeah, I guess it was 212. Yeah, way to go. I was just realizing my questions. Yeah, the 212 should have told me like, oh yeah, 12-team league. Sorry, I'm not smart sometimes. So yeah, I'd rather have the 14th pick than the 24th.
Okay. Now, here's a trade that is 50-50. Watkins or Demaryius Thomas and 108.
Watkins.
50-50.
I didn't hear the pick. Let's go.
It was 108.
Yeah, I ended up here. I was already giving you my answer before that came out.
That's a tough one. I probably would lead in Watkins there, but I don't know, just because he's always injury prone. But Demaryius is like 28, so
I think he's going to be 30.
He's getting up there, and you got to think the quarterback situation, whether it's you develop Lynch or you bring in Romo or whoever free agent wise, it's it take a little bit of time there. I'll say Watkins. I think he's finally going to get healthy here.
All right. And this will be our last one. And this one won. Okay. You'll never guess what side. Well, you probably will now. 64% to 36%. Melvin Gordon or 104, 203, and Duke Johnson.
It was 104, 203, and Duke Johnson for Melvin Gordon?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll take the picks and Duke.
I feel like this one is harder for Tim.
It definitely is. It definitely is. I'm not a huge Melvin Gordon fan, but he's definitely better than Duke, and there's a decent shot that 104 and 203 are both busts. I think I play it safe and I stick with Melvin Gordon here.
Yeah, that's kind of the route I was thinking because, yeah, it's a shot in the dark with the picks I get. I get it's a really good draft, but, man, it's tough to get rid of Melvin Gordon right now.
Yeah. All
right. I lied.
Around it.
This is the last one. I want to do this because rookie picks are the hot talk right now. It's a trade up to 101. Mm-hmm. 101 and 112 or 102 and 106.
I'll take 102 and 106.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I mean, obviously you have a very specific shopping list, and that's, I'm assuming it's probably Dalvin Cook. And this guy wants to ensure that he's going to get Dalvin, and he doesn't want to take the chance. He gets taken, and he doesn't get him at 102.
Yeah, it's tough for me because I like having that 101. I traded up this year for the 101, and it's nice having that security. Say Dalvin Cook drops in the draft because some news comes out, or his shoulders are really bad because he's had 3 shoulder surgeries. Or say, you know, Fournette, you know, you're on the Fournette train and his ankle doesn't check out. His ankle seems like it's chronic and it could hurt him the rest of his career. It's a ticking time bomb, kind of like JJ. I mean, you're locked at that 101. So if anything happens to one of the two, you're for sure getting the other guy and you don't have to kind of change your plans. And that is why I'm going to have to go 101 just for that security. You have the for sure thing. Like right now was when everybody was debating between Treadwell or Ezekiel Elliott last year. And this was the true thing. A lot of people were going Treadwell. I laughed at him, but you know, that's my opinion. But yeah, it's kind of the thing where, okay, whatever happens from here on out, I get the best guy no matter what. And that's what I like to have.
Yeah, you have the control. I get it. I understand. I think you're giving up too much value at 102 and 106. So.
It's such a deep draft, though. I mean, at 112, I get at 106, you can get like a Joe Mixon or a John Ross type guy. But at 112, you could get like an Alvin Kamara. You can get
that first tight end.
Someone's in reach.
Yeah.
This is the class to do that in.
Yeah. And yeah, my favorite thing I've heard so far about this draft is I forgot who said it. It could be UTH or somebody around the UTH or the Nerds, but they said this is the draft where like 2014, just pick the players you don't want to draft, that are your stay away from players.
Yep. Just remove them from your board and then go best player available.
Best player available, and
chances are they'll work out.
Yeah. If you miss in this draft, yeah, you should listen to us more.
It's not a bad strategy. So, all right. Well, that's going to go ahead and wrap up all our fun and festivities. So one last time, I highly recommend everybody go over to the fantastic website, dynastyhappyhour.com. Tyler brought it up a few weeks ago that I was building it. And yeah, I kind of laid the foundation out for this. But since then, Tyler has taken on a big role. And he is making this thing look beautiful, people. I'm telling you, go over there and look at his work. He's doing a fantastic job. A lot of articles. We got the rankings that we discussed on today's pod. Go over there. You can check them out for yourself. Just a lot of great stuff. We're also looking for writers. So if you're interested in possibly submitting some writing to us, you can go ahead and shoot us an email. That is dynastyhappyhour@gmail.com. Leave a little submission of your writing, and maybe we can bring a couple of you people aboard and help add some content to the site. That would be great. Other than that, you can reach us on Twitter. You can reach the show at DynastyHHPod. Tyler, where can they find you?
At DHHGunth.
You can find Chris, who's, I'm sure, just balls deep in the rumble right now. But you can find him on Twitter at ChrisWhitman11. And I brought up some of this content on the website. Chris is just pumping it out, man. He's got some great stuff. Go over there and read his articles. Kelly,
that P-Rat article. Ooh, yes, that's sir. Hot stuff.
Yes, sir. Kelly, where can they find you on Twitter?
At Dynasty Kelly App.
AP or APP?
APP.
Ooh, all right. And you can find myself at Tim Dynasty FF on Twitter. And I think that's going to wrap it up. Real quick, you can check out the website. We got links there where you can go buy merchandise, DHH merchandise there. That helps out the show greatly. You can also donate to the show from the site, or if you don't have any extra cash laying around, you can go over to iTunes, leave us a review there. We prefer the 5 stars, but give us an honest rating and review. But if you're going to give us something less than 5, please don't just say show stinks. Give us some pointers. What are we not doing, or what are we getting wrong? And maybe we can correct our actions from there. But just leaving a review that says show stinks and 1 star does nothing for us. So yep.
Give us some constructive criticism.
Yeah. So we look forward to that. That's the way you can help us out. And with that, you guys got anything else you want to say?
Just we are in the works of getting a new logo. So if you want to wait to buy merchandise, you can go ahead and do that because we will update that. So yeah, we got a lot of new stuff in the works. And Tim's trying to give me credit for the Luxo website. Tim is the one that surprised us and started this amazing project. So he's a very modest guy, but he is the mastermind. He's the architect. I am the interior designer.